So the coming Shabbos, it's hard to believe, but the coming Shabbos is really Shabbos Bereishis. And here we are in the middle of Chol HaMoed, Sukkos, and we're not even to Simchas Torah, we're not even to Hoshana Rabbah, and we're already learning Bereishis. It's scary how the time flies and we come back again. But Ishbitzah says, Zechori Mois Olam, Moshe Rabbeinu tells us to remember the days of yore. And Yemois Olam, that's the Masa Bereishis from the beginning of the first chapter of Genesis till the end, Vayichulu Hashemayim Oretz, and the heaven and earth were complete. These are the things that we have to remember. Zechori Mois Olam, these are the masculine efforts of creation. And then Binu Shnois Dovidor, we have to think about the Binu is the feminine of Dovidor, the generations from Adam until Avraham. Shalavicho v'yageitcho, ask your father and he'll tell you. These are the parashas of Lech Lecha v'yeru chayesorah. So v'yageitcho, the Ishbitzah says, it doesn't say v'yagidlach, ask your father and he'll tell you, but v'yageitcho means that he will turn you into a teller. V'yageitcho, you will become somebody who has the power of telling the narrative. And that can only happen if we pay real attention to Masa Bereishis and we do the retelling every year. So for years and years we were learning in Ishbitz and in the Sefer Yetzirah that we were learning the concept of the God-shaped hole that we have inside us, longing, craving, that we have inside us Rotzoin, Chsifa, Cheshik, and that we can experience this desire as pure, simple, undifferentiated desire. And that's really what's motivating us as human beings is this desire that we have inside us, which is in a sense the original light that gets lit over our head at the moment of conception in the womb. That we have this desire which, as we grow and develop, we learn to associate with things and we try to fill the desire. We try to satisfy the desire, to bring the desire to an conclusion or an end, so that we don't have to feel it constantly, because we're not really trained to appreciate it. We're taught from youth that it's telling us our body needs something physical, it needs food, needs love, and so the object is to associate the desire with the hunger or need, and we don't really get taught the spiritual practice of just feeling desire. Nobody said to me, Heshi, gewalt what you're feeling, just stop a moment, you and I, and let's see if we can hear the resonance of this desire. Let's stop a moment before we go to the fridge or before we do something to satisfy it. Let's find out what it is, what it really feels like. And it's only, I know, speaking for myself, it's only in my 30s and 40s that I had an opportunity to stop feeding it or trying to still it and satisfy it and to just contain an awareness of the almost unbearable feeling of desire. And say, Rabbeinu Shalom, you know, this is what you want me to feel, and I'm feeling it. And then we were learning that this really is a reflection of the simple desire, the Rotzon HaPoshut, and all throughout Sefer Yetzirah, starting from the second Mishnah, we talked about the Rotzon HaPoshet, the bris, the covenant that flows from the Creator, the desire that the Creator has for us. And really, when we experience inside our guts a feeling of powerful desire, then really this is an imitatio Deo. We are really responding, we're really reflecting, mirroring the divine desire, the rotzon, the will of the Creator for us. And we were saying that this is the meaning of the story, the narrative, as the Ari, as the Arizal says right at the beginning of Etz Chaim, that there arose in God the simple desire to lehetiv, to do good, to create and to reward us, and so he creates this empty space. And we were saying that the empty space is the desire itself, is the empty space, and that's how we can experience it. And over the years we've talked about this a lot. In the Sod Yishurim from the Radzina, who was the son of the Bis Yaakov, who was the son of Matriyas of Ishbitz, the Meir Shiloyach. As we've been learning this last few years, we've been learning more and more of the Bis Yaakov and the Sod Yishurim and the children of the Ishbitz. So I had, sitting in the Sukkah, I had an opportunity to sit down quietly and learn Sod Yishurim Tinyon at the very beginning. And really, as a sort of introduction to Maaseh Bereishis, to the story of creation, he lays out a sequence of events. And I thought that it would be good if we were to learn it, because there are some chidushim here, some new things that I've never seen. And he ends up with a quote from his father, the Beis Yaakov, that I haven't been able to find in the Beis Yaakov, and I suspect that it's kam baal peh, just orally given over. He says like this: we know, on the one hand, God is referred to as Echad. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. One. On the other hand, God refers to himself Ani Rishon. It says, I am the first. And there's a very, very significant, obvious difference between God one and God the first. One, Chad, is Lo B'Chushban. It's not a number. God as one isn't one of a pair or one of something. God is one. When God says Ani Rishon, I am the first, then that's part of a set. It's part of a number. And there's a big difference, because when we talk about God as one, V'lo b'chushban, and not in number, then we're referring to something that we can't really conceptualize. One that is not a number, is not numerated, cannot be counted, means something that doesn't exist. Whereas something that is first, that's already something that we can at least conceptualize. So the Radzina says the two ideas of God as one and God as the first, they can be roughly divided into the will, the Ratzon HaPashut, to create us. Once there exists the desire for us, then God refers to himself as Risha in the beginning, the first. If we are talking about before the desire for us, then we're talking about Chad v'la b'chushban, one that is not numberable. Because I guess it's self-explanatory. There is no other. There isn't even the concept or idea of us. So there's just the one. Now, when we talk about us, as we were learning in the Sefer Yetzirah, that there are 32 paths, the 22 letters, and the 10 sephiros, and ultimately it all comes down to Malchus. Begins with Keter and comes down to Malchus, the crown of sovereignty. What is a sovereign? Somebody who reigns alone, a sovereign. What is the idea of reigning? A melech. What is the idea of Malchus? You have a people. There are people who say, you're a king. Ein melech b'loy am. There's no king without a people. So Malchus is, in a sense, leisle migar meklum. It's something that doesn't have power of its own. So when we're talking about Rishon, we're talking about the first, God as first, then we can introduce these ideas of Melech and Malchus. What does it mean that we say to God, you are our king? If, as the Ishbitzer, you know, explains so often, the idea of free will is in itself, you know, a very debatable idea. If we say that we all have free will from beginning to end, the way the Rambam has a picture of free will, then Melech, the king, well, we willingly proclaim God king. But if, as we've been learning all these years, it's not so ay ay ay, there's not that much free will, as the way the Radzina, he has a phrase that the koyach habechira, the power of choice, sheyeshnoi, that exists rak b'tzuras odam, only in what we call human beings, v'loy b'sha'a kol abruim, and not other creatures, af ki gam koyach habechira shebetzuras odam hu igul. It's also really very circular. Even in humanity, what we think of as our free will and choice is really, it's very circular. V'hekev koton, and even that circle that exists is very, very small. Mo'oid. Ki ein lahabechira mitzius atzmis, because the truth is, choice doesn't really have any existence per se. Rak behekev tefisa sa'odam bal bechira atzmai v'loim v'chutz mimen. It's only a person's experience of himself. We feel like we have free will. That's about as far as it goes. There's a part of our brain that looks at us, and that's its function, is to look at the whole person, the whole self, you know. And in that, I guess there's a feeling, there's a sense, there's a perception of the ability to choose like this and choose like that. But the truth is that, you know, if you're a psychologist looking at that person who thinks he has free will, you can predict what they're going to do. So free will is kind of a very limited concept. However, we say when we do Kiddush Levona, b'chol mokem sh'ata moitze gedulose shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sham ata moitze im v'sanusoi. Wherever you find the greatness of God, there you find God's humility. How does that play out? The idea of Malchus, the idea of God as a king, a sovereign who requires people, that is an example of the invisonusoi, the modesty and humility of God. It's as though God says, you know what? Without you, Hevra, I'm not a king of the world. My malchus depends on you. That's the ultimate humility of God. So where you find the greatness of God, you find his humility. Ein melech b'loyam. But you know what we say? We say, Adoin oylam, Hashem molach b'terem kol yitzur nivra. God who reigned before anything that was created existed. How can God be king over nothing if nothing exists? So that is how we make God king, not by saying, oh, Rabbeinu Shlem, oh yeah, you're in charge, you're the boss. And that's when we talk about crowning God the king, you know, that, yeah, we say, oh God, you're the master, you made the world, it's your world and we're your creation and stuff like that. The Radzina says, no, that's not it. Our making God king is when we say, Adoin Olam Hashem Molach B'terem Kol Yitzur Nivra. You, Rabbeinu Shlem, you don't need us, that's just your humility. That's just you being modest and saying, Chevra, I need you to make me melech. Without you, I'm not melech. But the emes is, Rabbeinu Shlom, you were melech before us. And v'acharei kechlois ha'koil hu levad yimlech nero, when everything disappears and nothing exists anymore, God, you're still going to be the same king. Nothing changes. And that's our job, really. And when the Rabbeinu Shlonim says, you are my people, that you are mamlich me, you make me king, it's not because we are saying God is in charge of the world. But we were saying that God doesn't need us to be king of the world. That God doesn't need us. Even though God is saying, Chevra, I need you, we say back, yeah, Rabbeinu Shlomo, but that's because you're very humble. But we know you, and you don't need us. That step of saying, Rabbeinu Shlomo, you don't need us, that's a big step, because that's a step into the dark. That's a step into that place before the rotzoin, before the desire becomes manifest. And the Radzina says it like this. We can say it. I can say, Rabbeinu Shlomo, you don't need this. You don't need us. You don't need anything. You are the same melech. You are the same king before creation as after creation. I can say it. But do I know what I'm saying? Can I know what I'm saying? Does it make a difference if I know what I'm saying? So the Radzina, he goes way beyond what the learning that we were doing in Sefer Yetzirah. He says, there's different kinds of rotzoin. There's a rotzoin which is meluvash. There's rotzoin which is dressed. There's the desire of God that takes the form of what? Takes the form of you and me, right? Takes the form of the world. That's the light that God said, Yihi Or, let there be. Let there be something. But there's another rotzoin. And this rotzoin, this desire that is clothed in being, that is called rishoin. The first. There, God is called first. And then there is the rotzoin haposhet. The Radzina says there's the simple desire. And that is a mechitza. It's a barrier. Because behind that barrier, is the makor harotzon, the source of the desire. And we can't really see the source of the desire. So the rotzon haposhet that flows, which we called in Sefer Yetzirah the bris, the covenant, that is the covenant of yichud, bris yichud, that simple desire which flows from God to us, which is really God's desire for us, that is a mechitza, it's a barrier behind which we can't see. What we can know is that there is a mokor, there is a source for that rotzon, but we can't see it. However, he says, beyond that, there's the Baal HaRotzon. There is the owner, the master, the desirer. So, whereas, you know, when we were learning Sefer Yetzirah, we never really pondered, because the Sefer Yetzirah warns us, you know, beyond here, Osa Laharer, this is, if you want to go ahead, just turn your mind back and go back. But the Radzina is opening it for us, right? So let's jump in, right? So he says that the Rotzein HaPoshet, that is a mechitz, it's a barrier. What is behind the barrier is the mokor of the Rotzein, the source of the desire. And deeper, beyond, I mean, we can understand if there's a desire flowing, we can say that there must be a source, because it's a flow. But he says that if there's a flow, there's also a bala rotzin. Why is all this important? He says, because the difference between light and dark, in the Sefer Bahir and other Sforim in the Zohar Kodesh, it says that the original light is dark. Because leis man de mispila, nobody can bear it. So osa nahoira le nahoira, so God makes the light for the light, like a clothing for the light. So the Radzina takes that metaphor and he turns it into something that we can appreciate on a non-intellectual level. He said, instead of using the idea of light, which is it's marvelous, except that it's useless in the sense that we can't feel it. Then we can feel desire, right? So the Rabban Shlom has a desire for us. He says, in the name of his father, the Beis Yaakov, and this is the moshel that he gives, and I don't know where in the Beis Yaakov this is. He says, imagine a light that's so powerful that's simply blinding, right? So, I mean, as a ledugma, as an example, imagine trying to look into the sun. I mean, not only can you not look into the sun, and if you try looking into the sun, you get no information whatsoever except that it's very bright. But if you close your eyes and look into the sun, it's still too bright. And if you put your hand over your eyes with your eyes closed and look into the sun, it can still be too bright. If you come out here and try it here, it's like on the mountain here, it's very, very bright. In other words, the light from the sun is just so powerful that it's blinding, it gives you no information. The idea of Esh Shchoira al Esh Levona, the idea of black fire and white fire, is that the black fire obscures the white fire, and in doing so makes it possible to transmit information. If you have a simple white page, right, it doesn't tell you anything. Oh, it's very nice, it's pure white, it's very beautiful, but it doesn't say anything. It's only when you start to put black marks on it and you start to obscure the whiteness that you can actually convey anything. So the Ishbitzer, the Beis Yaakov says, imagine light so bright, there's nothing you can do with it. You can't relate to it, you can't look at it. So what do you have to do? you make a barrier, you make a wall. So now you are in a room that's completely dark, and you know that on the other side of this wall is complete light. So how are you gonna bridge the gap between the complete darkness and the complete light? You gotta make a hole in the wall. So the Bais Yaakov says, you know what the hole in the wall is? It's a human being. Imagine carving a shape of a human being in the wall, and then you got light coming through the wall in the shape of a human being, right? Imagine you've got stained glass in the window in the shape of a human being with a head and body and clothes and feet and shoes. Imagine instead of glass, you've got a human being, right? A transparent human being. So the human being is a window in the dark. I feel like, you know, everything we've been trying to say over the years is coming back in a circle, right? Because till now we've said inside every person is a God-shaped hole, right? The rotzoin, the desire that we feel inside us, is a manifestation of the divine. It's like, how do I feel God inside me? With the cheshek, with the longing that I have, I'm mirroring God, because God has a desire for us inside Him. The Bais Yaakov comes in a whole from a whole other direction, and he says, God has a human-shaped, right? God has a human-shaped hole inside Him. Or it's the Baal HaRotzoin, the owner of the desire, right? How do we know anything? How can we conceptualize anything about the Baal HaRotzoin when we can't even look at the Makor HaRotzoin? As we were saying before, right? There's the Rotzoin HaMelubish, there's the Rotzoin, the desire that has taken a form of you and me, and there's the Rotzoin HaPosha, the simple desire, which is a wall, a barrier, preventing us from this overwhelming desire, which is the Makor, the source of desire, the Rotzoin of Rotzoin, the Rav de Ravin, from whose existence, because we know we can't look at it, it's dark, because there's a wall there, but from whose existence we can extrapolate that there is a Baal HaRotzoin, that there is an owner of the desire, that there is a desirer. And the Bais Yaakov says that in this wall of darkness, that this choshech kadmo'o, that which we call the original darkness, about which God said, let there be light, that choshech kadmo'o is just the rotzen haposhet, it's a barrier that's preventing us from seeing the mokor of the rotzen, the rav de ravin, and that there is a hole in that wall. And that hole in that wall is the way through which we can be aware of the Baal HaRotzoin. And what is that? That's you, that's me. My existence, my awareness, my neshama, my being, is a person-shaped hole in the vast and profound darkness poured upon everything by the need, by by the impossibility, by the ineffability of God. So I represent a keyhole, a way. I'm a transparency through which the light shines. So Vayom Elokim Yehi Oyer, God says, let there be light. What was there beforehand? There was the Rotzein HaPoshet, beyond which we cannot see. So the light that's coming through is U-shaped, it's me-shaped. And here the Radzina says something that I didn't expect. He says, that's the true meaning of the Pasuk in Eoiv. There's a verse that says, Umibesori Echazeh Eloika, and from my flesh I see God, right? Avraham says, if how do I see God? I see God from my own flesh. That's the meaning. And it occurred to me, I remember when I was a child, and we would come home from school at night and we would have these flashlights, we call them torches in England. And if it's got good battery and it's just fresh, and you turn it on and you put your hand over it, then you've got all this red and pink light. And I was always wondering, how come you can't see your own bones? How come it just looks like a red jelly? It's because the way the water and the blood is conveying the light, it just comes through as a redness. Umibesori echaza, so from my flesh, something is shining through my flesh, not my intellect. Something is coming through my desire. Something is coming through my desire, and what's coming through is a bridge between the light of the desire that I can understand and the darkness, which just is the overwhelming, infinite, blinding desire, which is the mokor, the source of all desire. Beyond saying that, there's not really much I can add. That when we talk about ilas or ilois, and the cause of causes, and we talk about ilas al kol ilois, the Zohar Kodesh makes a distinction between the causes, the cause of causes, and the cause that is above all the causes. That the cause of causes is rishon, that is the simple desire. The ilas al kol ilois, the cause that is above all the causes, that is the mokor, the bal harotzon. And when we talk about God being echad, when we talk about God being one, Rabbein Almin de antu chad v'loy b'chushban, you know, you are God, you are one and not in number. We are referring to God who is the bal harotzon. And the Radzina says, there's a Zohar, the Zohar says, how could we call God Rachum, how could we call God Chanun before there are people to have mercy on? How could God be merciful if there's no people to be merciful on? So he says, because God is going to be called merciful because of the people who are going to be born. Because of the people who are going to sin, God is going to be Erech HaPaim, he's going to be patient. So he's called patient even before there are people. So the Radzina says, but you know, the Zohar hasn't really answered the question, because what in a sense you're saying is that there is God in potentia and there is God in actuality. So that this God is already called Rachum V'Chanun because of the people who are going to be born. So God is in potential. But there's a big difference between potential and actual. So then that's not God who is one. If we're talking about change, God says, Ani Hashem lo shenisi, I'm God, I didn't change. So the Zohar Kodesh has made this trick distinction, is not real. So the Radzina says, because that's exactly the point. We say to God that the difference between God in potential and God in actual is only the way we understand things. With the way our brain works, we get into these dilemmas of trying to, classify when something is happening. But the truth is, there's no difference, that there is no God in potential, God actualized. As we said before, Adoin Olam Asher Terem Molach B'Terem Kol Yetzirah, what we are doing all the time is saying, Ribbono Shel Olam, there is no difference. Everything is our perception. Everything that's going on, everything that we say about God, it's our perception. It's just the way our brain works. And what we're doing in this learning is just, we're dissecting ourselves. When we talk about the Rotzen HaMelubosh, when we talk about the Rotzen HaPoshet, when we talk about the Mekoira Rotzen, when we talk about the Baal HaRotzen, when we go through these stages of how we understand the desire, this is us. We're only talking about ourselves. Because we are the window through which the Baal HaRotzen can be seen. We are the window. Shane, I want to bless you and me. We should have